If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Yo, it's Tuesday, baby. You are tuned in to the Society on Slick. I'm Queen B from the South, baby, watch your mouth. And you know I'm not alone. I'm joined with, you know, I'm going to call him a legend again just so he knows what it is. Man. Yeah, I'm joined by Mari. You hear the voice. What's up? How you doing?
Listen, man, if you hear the voice, that means you know it. I mean, you know the hairline. You know it's me, man. I'm in the building. I'm doing good, man. I'm all right, B. You know what I mean? We chilling. And speaking of your intro, the Queen B in the house, you know, watch your mouth. That's from none other than Jerome from Martin. That shit just turned 30 years old this week. You know what I mean?
30. So,
yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's one of those shows, man. 30 years later, you know, still just so impactful, inspirational, you know, kind of laid the blueprint down for shows to come after that. And, it's just a legendary show. You know, hard to pick a favorite episode, hard to pick a favorite character, hard to pick a favorite scene. It's too many. Once you start naming them off, you won't stop, you know? So shout out to Martin and shout out to the whole cast. 30 years, man, masterpiece. Like,
a masterpiece.
Perfect. And I'm all Detroited out, too. This wasn't on purpose. I'm Detroited out today. Detroit, Michigan out and all that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, shout out to Martin, man. Put Detroit on the map like the Pistons and all that. You feel me? So, yeah, we out here, man.
That's right. So, I mean, I know you over there in the Slick universe. Can you tell us what's been going on as we start our 5 under 5?
Yeah, man, it's a couple things going on over at Slick. Real quick, if you guys are not following us, just click the links in the description to take you right to our social media handles. You know, stay tuned with everything. But recently, what's going on right now is, shout out to Ken Marshall, who we had on the show. You know, great brother, hilarious dude. And basically, he started up something called the Hoop Her, where, you know, it's a women's, you know, it's a dunk contest. It's all type of things going on around it. But the main thing is women's basketball, you know. Particularly Duncan, and that shit is fire. Like, you know, streamed it on Caffeine. It did really well. A lot of people tuned in. A lot of people came out to the Slick Studios in person to see what was going on, to help with the filming, to do, you know, just to do a lot of stuff, man. You know, and just shout out to the team. You know, shout out to Baron Davis. You know, that's the OG of this shit and all that, gang. And
that's right.
Yeah, man. Just always just a great host. Always have a great time, you know, when people come out to the events. And like I said, Ken Marshall, man, he's doing his thing. Shout out to all the ladies that came through and participated. And listen, you ladies out here getting busy, B. You might have to pull up. I don't know if they know about your past, man.
Yo, I was thinking, like, I have to be like D. Brown and have on the the Reeboks, pump it up real quick before I go out there and kill it. You know?
You got to do that. Because they getting up out there. I ain't going to lie. They doing some... These ain't just your regular... Well, Hov say this ain't your daddy yak. You know what I mean? This ain't just a couple. This ain't just the, you know, the rim grazers. Nah, they getting creative with it. You know what I mean? So shout out to everybody, man. That's you know, that's every Friday. You know, 8 p.m. You can go ahead and, you know, like I said, if you have not downloaded the Caffeine app, please do that right now. Follow Slick. We got a lot of things going on over there, man.
That's right. And I saw that if you are in the area on these Fridays where they are having the Hooper events, you can be in the studio audience.
Yeah, you can
come
up
and watch live. So
you can pull up.
See what's pull up with that, up, y'all.
Man. Make sure you bring good vibes only, man. Good vibes, friendly faces, firm handshakes, warm, soft hugs and all that. You know what I'm saying? Just do that. That's all we want going on around the Slick Studio, man. That's it, you know? That's
it. Warm, man. Soft hugs. Yeah. Hey, hey, hey. All right, look. So after all the mess that we have been, you know, talking about as far as the NBA offseason, KD and Kyrie are still in Brooklyn.
Welcome back. Yeah. They back with the bent up hat, Mace hat on, on the album cover. You know what I'm saying? Shit went crazy.
Did it.
Yeah, but, you know, they back in
that
the building.
That was a trend
though,
for a minute. Oh, yeah.
Man, hopefully, literally for a minute, because I hope after that 60 seconds was up, niggas got back to their senses. Like, wait, hold on. Nah. Snap back to reality, man. You know?
But now that it's confirmed that they are staying in town, ooh, you know, everyone's putting the Nets back in,
yes,
you know, and
as
lead
they
to
should
possibly go to the finals. Do you think? You know,
as
they,
as
have
they
the
should
potential to get there.
Listen, I'm a Bulls fan. I'm gonna always, you know, rep the team. But let's right just be real here. A healthy Ben Simmons out with a chip mm-hmm on his shoulder, ready to prove, you know, that he still got it, and you know, all the shit that's been going on hasn't changed his passion for basketball, you know, his approach to basketball. You got Kyrie, you got KD, even if they're out to prove, you know, if nothing else, just to shut everybody up. Because everybody's going to talk one way or the other, whether you got Stephen A. Smith or Stephen from Idaho, you know, talking about you on Twitter. It is what it is. So that would be a safe pick. I think if you're picking the Nets to go to the finals, assuming that they make some, you know, some pickups, you know, add to the team or whatever, which I imagine
and
they
stay
will.
Healthy.
Stay healthy. Stay healthy. That's the number one thing. I mean, you know, but again, yeah, we, you know, when Giannis and them won, we was a KD big toenail away from them going to the finals themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was that close. So, you know, again, yeah, man, the Nets had a terrible outing in the playoffs this year, but I do think them retooling, you know, with these guys re-ing up again,
right, boy,
it's going to be a problem.
But out west,
oh,
we got
another
really
problem
interesting happening.
We got a whole different problem.
And, you know, shout out to my dad for sending me this news, because I have been so busy that I haven't really been on social media too much. But yeah, Pat Beverly to the Lakers.
Listen, man.
And of course, everybody's first thought was like, oh shit, he's there with Russ. Yep. How is that gonna look? What that look like? But do you think that with Pat Beverly coming to LA, that means that Russell is out of there?
Yes. And the only reason I say that is because LeBron gave him kind of the kiss of death. Like, oh, I can't wait till he go crazy this year. You know what I mean? You know how that go. Oh, he about to do it, and then, you know, that dude will be out the door. So I don't – nah, and this is not me saying, like, because Pat Beverly came there, he's the savior. I just think they're going in a different direction, and this was kind of the first step toward that. Now, what they do with Russ, what they can get him for, what the market dictates, you know, he's, I guess, like, worth right now, I don't know. But that had to be an awkward alert to get on your phone if you're Russell Westbrook, like – L.A.
Right.
Traded for who? L.A. who? Us? The Chargers? Like, who the fuck what you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Hold on. The Kings? Yeah. Nah, hold on. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I mean, it's years of, like, drama between those two. So putting them on the same squad is like, okay.
I think on some basketball shit, I think it's some respect there. You know, I think under all the bravado for basketball, I do. Because I think that under the, like, You kind of got to, you know, dog it up for the media and shit like that at a certain point. But I feel like if they was in the gym playing one-on-ones like teammates do, there's some respect there. I don't think either one thinks the other one is a bum. Like, I don't truly think the other one is a bum. Like, they know.
I do.
Really?
I do. I think so. Yeah. I remember being right there watching them play against each other, OKC, and just it always looked like Pat was trying to hurt Russ.
And he did.
And that's just
hurt
a different level.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just a different level of, you know, competition when, you know, it's you can play clean, but when you're out to hurt somebody and that affects not only the team, but it affects this person's like livelihood.
Yeah.
That's when I really can't fuck with Pat Bev like that.
Nah, a lot of people feel like that. Like, bro, get him out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But he's one of those players that until he plays for your favorite team, you might feel like that. Seriously, because like he's a guy.
I'm
gonna
give you a great example. Rajah Bell couldn't stand him.
Man, listen,
him.
Hey,
yo,
Rajah was one of them. Woo! Yeah, Rajah, Doug Christie, these type of guys. They're just like, you don't really, you know what I'm saying? You look at them like, man, get the fuck. And then when they're on your team, you're like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Pat Babb is one of those. He's just one of the most polarizing figures, especially after this past run he just did on media talking about Chris Paul and stuff like that, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see how things unfold in L.A. It's going to always be like soap opera-esque out there because it's just like, this is the Lakers, the Laker way, you know.
Yes, yes. And, you know, since we talking about basketball here.
Yeah.
And we're both like very pro athletes doing what they love, like following their passions outside of the sport. So we have none other than Serge Ibaka with a new album.
Yeah.
An album, okay? And look, the vibe is crazy. It's, you know what? If I could say it, I'm going to put it this way. It's not like he's singing or rapping or anything. He's kind of on the track like Diddy.
Okay.
Kind of like a DJ Khaled.
Just talking.
It's like
some,
a compilation album with a bunch of African artists, Afrobeat situation going on, dope vibe. We even got an appearance from Diplo on there.
So he on some DJ drama type time.
Right.
This. Okay.
And you'll hear him a little bit. He might have like a hook or something, but it's not like he's on here trying to like be
all in the
like
video.
Right. But I gave it a listen and it was a couple that I had to run back.
Really?
I'm really feeling it. Yeah.
Wow. That
you know
is
what?
One of the highest honors you can get.
I'll tell you exactly which ones they are too.
Yeah, let me know. Cause I am going to check this out. When you sent me this, I didn't know whether it was an album that was out or coming out. And I was like, I need to see what's up with this. So, to hear there's some replay value on there, I'm intrigued.
Oh, yeah. And look, there's a language barrier here.
Yeah.
Serge speaks like 100 languages, but there's one called Ken Braza.
Okay.
Which is, it sounds like a traditional, like, West African song. So, for those who know, as soon as it comes on, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I see what we're doing here. And Mabe Mabe, I love it. Okay. I love it. I'm just so happy that people are putting out happy dance music. Like, it's just a dope vibe. Because I already told you, I'm just tired of the like murder, murder, kill, kill music, the drug music, like my ops this and my gun this and the like. I'm tired.
I mean, I ain't gonna hold you. There's a time and a place for it because I do need a healthy dose of, you know what I mean? A certain type of talk, you know what I'm saying, just to kind of keep me balanced, you know what I'm saying. But you know, I get what you're saying, though.
Right? Yeah. Sometimes it could just be too much because I turn on the radio, I got my son in the car, and I'm sorry, I can't keep listening to Lil Durk. I can't.
Yeah, you can't play ESTG, aka Father Fentanyl, in the whip.
No,
with the children, man, it just can't.
No,
I, you know what I mean? Yeah, nah.
Yeah. So the album is called Art. Check it out, y'all. I think it's a really dope vibe.
I'm gonna check that out. And also, even, you know, talking about Serge, Boardroom posted this earlier, and it says that he has a song called Champion that has surpassed Dame Dolla's Moneyball as the most streamed song ever by an active NBA player. To which he saw that, he retweeted it and said, "I do art." Period. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's just what it is. So I mean, shout out to this even being a stat, because you got to remember, our earliest basketball player, you know, rapper memories was Shaquille O'Neal going platinum and shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So like now you look up and Serge Ibaka in 2022 has an album out here where he got something that's doing all these millions and millions of streaming. So, you know, shout out to that.
Wait, does that also include Master P?
I think so.
I know you played a couple exhibition games.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so because I think you gotta like make the P can say he was in the NBA. Like let's not get that twisted. But I don't know if he, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't know.
Because
I think you probably had to be active and had the music out
at
the same time.
Okay.
That's what I'm assuming.
Got it.
That's what I'm assuming here. But shout out to Serge because like I said, now in this day and age of people just not looking at, you know, athletes like they can only do one thing and they're accepting their music. He's breaking the barriers because now you're giving them something to shoot for. Oh, Serge shit, spending $35 million. We got to go do something. We got to go do XYZ, you know? So shout out to that, man.
That's
shout out to Serge Ibaka, man.
Yeah,
do your thing,
shout
man.
Out.
Do your thing, bro. All
right. And, you know, talking about music here, we are celebrating a legend's 64th birthday.
Icon. It's not even a... Is there icon. Even a word for Mike? Like, let's be real. Is there a word for him that does him justice?
Man.
Because we call...
He transcends time.
We call
and
a lot
music.
Of people legends and, you know, geniuses and shit like that. I don't know if there's a word invented yet. And it probably never will be to, like, fully let you know the... You know what I'm saying? Like, the level.
The weight. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And, man, it's different. It's different.
You know, I'm here in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay. They have a show called The One. Mm-hmm. And it's a Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show. I've heard it's insane. It's really hard to get tickets because they sell out. As soon as they go on sale, it's like...
Oh, yeah. You already know.
Like, 150 a pop.
Yeah.
But sold out every single time. Mm-hmm. And I was just so happened to be walking through on Sunday. And there were so many people walking around dressed like Michael Jackson. A lot of impersonators. And the smallest little kid, he could not have been more than like 2 years old, was dressed like Michael Jackson from head to toe.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, yo, babies know who he is.
Listen.
Babies love his music. Like,
yes.
What? Who else is doing it like that? Who is no longer alive?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because I was about to say, a couple years ago, we saw that video of that little girl recognizing Future at the wedding and all that.
Right.
So, shout out to Future. You know what I mean? But... No, so my thing, my test with when it comes to popularity and just like, you know, notoriety and shit like that, I asked my daughters if they knew who Michael Jackson was, right? My oldest is 13. My youngest is about to be 8. They both knew it immediately. Like, yeah, of course. Like, who? They both was kind of like, who doesn't know who to? And I'm like, bro, he's been gone longer than they've been around.
Since 2009.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's like for them to just know it, know the music when they hear it. And then like our grandmothers know who he is. We know who he is. Mm-hmm. And babies know. Like, bro, nobody, bro. Nah.
So did you like play his music for them? Like, or was just like pop culture type stuff that they just see on TV?
So I want to say maybe it's a little mix of both, because sometimes when I'm riding with them, I'll get in my bag where I'm listening to like some older classical, you know what I mean? Like some classic stuff. And I've played it before, but not to the point where they would like know me from Michael Jackson. So I'm assuming that they know this because of what they're tuning into also. Like I just found out that my daughter knew a Biggie song before I played it for her, because she said she heard people doing edits to the song on YouTube. So we did like this whole, it was Hypnotized.
Oh,
I'm gonna say that for the Thursday show. I got a great segment on this right here. So stick around for the Thursday show for anybody y'all listening right now. Tune in Thursday because I got a hell of a story for y'all. But anyway, yeah. So I'm assuming that is I've played the music here and there, but like I said, not enough for them to be like, yeah, my dad listens to Michael Jackson. So it's just the world. It's just by way of just being in this world, they know who Mike is.
Yeah. Now I said on the show before I introduced Prince. To more Michael Jackson. Like, he knew some songs. And of course, when Halloween comes around, like the Halloween stores have commercials and they're playing Thriller and you just hear all these, you know, his songs or whatever. But I introduced Michael Jackson to him by way of the movie Moonwalker.
Yeah.
And now he absolutely knows who he is. And it's so funny because we were walking somewhere, and here in Vegas, it's like music being played everywhere. Elevator, casino, parking garage, you just hear music everywhere you go. And he's like, Mom, you hear that? It's Michael Jackson. Or he'll hear, I was playing Gwen Stefani, Hella Good. And if you can recall, is that drums. And it sounds like Beat It or Billie Jean. It sounds like Billie Jean at the beginning of the song. He was like, oh, I thought that was Michael Jackson. I was like, yo.
Like, damn, hold on, my boy.
I hear the ear.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
But yes.
Mike had people. There's a video I saw, a clip I saw a while back. Mike came up off the stage, man, and stood there. Stood there. Didn't do anything. You got people in the audience hyperventilating, passing out. They come in to get niggas on the stretcher they used to use on the Flintstones. Just a little tube. With the sheet, you know what I'm saying?
The two sticks with
the sheet. Like, yo, just get them out of here with the sandpaper on the shit. You feel me? So, so that's crazy enough, right? Cool. He then turns the other way, just his head only, and niggas with facial hair and responsibilities was fainting. Nobody in this world will ever do shit like that again. Ever, bro. And like ever. I said, number one, because everybody's too accessible anyway. You can just turn your phone on and see your favorite rapper, singer, whoever, like, oh, they was at the club or they did this, they did that. You ain't know what was
Except
going on
Beyonce.
With Mike, man.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. Right. Yeah.
But she's taking a page from his book.
Absolutely, man.
She gets it. She gets... I listened to an interview with LaToya Luckett. She was on R&B Money talking to Tank and Jay Valentine. And just talking about how hard they worked to be as professional and clean with the vocals and just on point with the choreography. They rehearsed from day until night, all day.
Right.
And she said something about exclusivity, about not being so accessible. And then when you are in the public eye, you are so on point that no one can say shit about you.
That's the part.
And a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
Which is, it's okay, I believe, to have, you know, to be able to be yourself. But there's, you can see it's a clear separation from certain artists where it's like, oh no, they take this way more seriously than, you know, the average artist that you have.
Yeah, they don't look at
here.
It like, oh, let me just chalk it up to the game. Like, nah, I'm gonna still be me.
Yeah.
Like, I know that this is what it's your job. It's part of your job, to be honest. Like, once you reach a certain level of fame, part of your job is to, you know, if you choose that route, if you make it that route.
Right.
But, yeah.
So, right.
Yeah, man, Mike is, man, like I said, Mike, there isn't a word to really describe Mike properly. You know what I mean? But happy birthday to Mike, man. This is just PYT is, for my money, the most perfect song. You know what I mean? Like, it's the most perfect. Like, that shit is like.
Okay, I have a question. Out of the Michael Jackson samples that people have used in their music, which one do you like better? Kanye's The Good Life, which samples PYT. Or do you like Fabulous' Be My Baby, which samples I Can't Help It?
Damn, man. The baby joint is tough. But I'm going to say The Good Life because that song, period, is a song that will get played forever. Like, I remember where I was when that album came out and me and the homies was riding around the city, like, listening to that, going up to Wayne State University campus. Bumping that, like, on the way home, like, yo, you heard what he said? Like, this was Kanye we talking about, who wasn't known for his lyrical prowess and shit like that. But on that album, it was just, it was something different. You got a bunch of niggas that ride around listening to street shit all day, playing the Kanye album start to finish. Like, bro, that shit is hard right there. Or this is, you know what I mean? So I'm going to pick that song because that song is just, like, it's one of them. It's, like, one of the best songs ever. So, but shout out to Fab, though.
I think I've heard it so much that hearing Fabulous is
it was just
more,
Now I get you.
It feels a little bit better.
Yeah. That's what she said. But yeah, I feel you. I feel you though. But
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so I really hate talking about, like, corny niggas.
Yeah.
But we're going to discuss this. There is a comedian, if you want to call him that, sure. Ari Spears has some things to say about Lizzo. And Lizzo, she just be out here minding her talented black-ass business.
Yeah.
Why do people always feel the need to, like, bring her up? Which is weird because he's doing this interview, and I can't even remember who he's sitting down with, but he's sitting down. They bring up Lizzo, and I'm not going to say what he said to insult her, but as he's sitting down doing this interview with this ugly ass, like, Yankee turned to the side, and not on like some T.I. shit, the shit looked like the hat, he sleeps and bathes in it, if he bathes. He's sweating profusely while sitting down. He's sweating profusely. He's out of breath. He looks like the Mucinex man, and he's sitting here talking big shit about beautiful ass Lizzo.
Yo.
Why? Why? Like, why?
Nah,
why do people even
Yankee
bring
right
her
there,
up
man.
In interviews knowing?
That's a
knowing.
Bad. Mr. Marcus Yankee was better than that, my nigga. Like, come on,
oh,
B.
God.
You hear me?
Ugh. Like, Aries, please.
Yeah, like you said, I won't repeat the insult or whatever. My thing is, like, you could have opted to say nothing there. I had this conversation
no
with people.
No comment.
I had this conversation with people a lot, right? It's not so much about if what you said was disrespectful or if I could have took it this way. Was it necessary? Just was it necessary? Because if it wasn't necessary to say that, then it's like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, he could have easily not said anything. He made it a point to be like, yeah, nah, because I... And it's like, bro, you turned around and did the phone on yourself. You did this yourself, right, to respond to everybody that was coming at you. You told us that you had to put the Yankee on for this, and you were shirtless. That means you covering your head up because you embarrassed about whatever is going on up there, but you ain't think to put a shirt on? We didn't even have to know that you just put that hat on. You could have just got dressed and just, you know, still went with that hat. I don't know why you even have that in your collection, but that's on you. And you could have just, you know, made your video. But you had to tell us that you did. Like, you look bad, bro. And I just saw Lizzo accepting an award yesterday, mm-hmm. last night, when I saw the clip from it. And she was talking her shit on there. Like, that acceptance speech and all that, she had them people in there. I see why she's such a star. Like, she's got some charisma.
Like, this woman goes up on stage and dances her ass off. She performs. She's twerking, singing, playing the flute, and giving personality. Yeah. She is really an entertainer.
Yeah.
And she, you know, came up and accepted her speech in this bomb-ass black dress. Go, girl. Yeah. And she was like, you know what? People always ask why I don't clap back. But it's like, but why? When I'm up here, winning all these awards. Please.
As she's winning, that was fire.
As she's winning.
That was fire. Yeah.
I don't have to say shit.
I like that.
So yeah,
like
Aries, please. Fellas, I just want to say this. Like, if it's not productive, especially when you're talking about a woman, especially a black woman, it's okay to not say shit. I don't care if you just want to, like, create some drama so people come and listen to your weak-ass podcast.
Yeah.
Find another way. Find another way. Because that means you can't do that shit on your own. You need to go down here and tear down people who have nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
That's just letting everybody know you ain't that nigga. You ain't that guy.
Definitely that. But then also it's like, don't then turn around and ask why, like, black women aren't put in certain positions, because the people watching this shit be like, you know, imagine if people more powerful than you said that on a platform for everybody to hear, and they had a bigger audience to you, a bigger reach, and then these companies like, damn, well, he got a point, and that's a black man, so should we be, you know what I'm saying? Like, imagine if that happened. Don't do shit like this and then turn around and ask why black people or black women, you know, in particular, aren't being put in these situations, because you're going to tear them down when they get up there anyway. If you don't like, if she's not your type, you don't like her, cool, bro. She doesn't have to be. But just, you don't even gotta say it, my nigga. And get rid of that hat. Like, that shit is making me mad talking about it right now. That shit making me itch right now. But I'm just saying, you ain't have to say that, bro. That's all. You ain't have to say it, bro.
You didn't. I was gonna say, that was a good segue into our main topic today. There was a tweet that you sent me.
Yeah.
So a girl said, I had to look up what the fuck a soft girl era was. And ain't no way this soft girl era just means being feminine. No way y'all bash niggas for months just to remix them saying be more feminine to soft girl era. Now, I really want to talk about this because I feel like we've kind of alluded to this in previous conversations on the show. So there's a girl who, I guess, went viral on TikTok talking about being soft and feminine. So I want to play this for the listeners here.
Soft girl era. I've been complaining before, and I've been enjoying this soft girl era that I'm going through. I've never been able to be a soft girl. I'm so like, and now I'm just like, and then when I lower my voice and I need to be taken seriously and handled delicately, and I just look and I'm like, baby, look, I'm not okay. I need this. I need you. I get whatever the fuck I want. Who told me to be aggressive? This is crazy.
Okay, so with her saying this, there are some things that she said that I want to talk about in a second. But I was reading some of the comments.
Yeah.
And the comments were like saying, like, yeah, you catch more bees with honey, or being quiet and soft is powerful. Tired of being aggressive, softness only, and which is really dope. But there are some people like, yeah, y'all sitting here, men been saying this forever. Like, we want y'all to be more feminine, be more feminine. You're too aggressive. You're too blah, blah, blah. What you guys do not understand is that when a woman is placed in a situation, she adapts to what you are giving her. If you do not provide the environment for her to be a soft woman, then you're not going to get a soft woman. I can be aggressive. I think I'm a really, like, I'm kind of in between, but more than not, I'm a pretty soft woman. I'm very delicate, but in previous relationships, I have been very soft. But one guy in particular that I dated, his energy was so masculine that I had no choice but to settle into a soft position. Like, I was like, you know what? I like this. I don't have to be the leader here. I don't have to be the one that's always like making plans and making all the decisions. And I don't have to work so hard. It's easy to communicate. It's easy, you know, because Jill Scott was on The Breakfast Club and she has a quote that I think kind of went over a lot of people's heads. The way that she delivered it, it sounds great. But I don't think what people were trying to understand what she was saying. So she said, if you can't tell me what to do, you can't tell me what to do. Yeah. But if you can tell me what to do, you can tell me what to do.
Yeah.
She's literally talking about like
the
respect that a woman will show a man when he shows up with the right energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. 1,000%.
And so I don't think this is, this whole like soft era is about listening to what men have been trying to say, like, oh, you need to be more soft. This is more of a self-reflection. Like, you know what? I like myself better when I don't have to work so hard. I'm like, women are just saying that they're just fucking tired. And I had a moment like that where I was literally like, you know what? I can really just say less.
Yeah.
Literally, I can just say less and get more done and influence more, influence better by just not doing too much.
Yeah.
It's not about doing it for a man. It's for yourself.
It's for yourself. And then part of it, like you said, is if you can trust your partner to hold down that other, whatever percentage you need them to be for you, then you have no problem being soft. But it's like, you know, a lot of men have been asking, like, requesting that side of you without being able to bring it out of you or making you feel like you can go there with them. So it's like, yeah, you've been saying it, but you haven't been doing your part to make me feel like I can do it. So you can say it all you want. But it sounds like this lady has met a man that, you know, how people always say, like, you meet the right person, you'll find out you weren't asking for too much. You was asking the wrong people. So it's like, I feel like she's in a situation now where it's like, oh, I didn't realize. Because that's probably a conflict in itself. Like, somebody who's naturally just, like, a nice person who's forced to be an asshole or forced to put up this shield, that's an inner conflict that you got to resolve with yourself, too. But it's like when you meet somebody that's like, nah, just chill. I got it. I got you. You know what I mean? Like, but we still going to need you to tell her I didn't ask for cheese on my shit because I'm not going to do it. Remember, for how strong I am, I'm not sending my food back there because I'm just not doing it. Number one, I'd be shook anyway to send my shit back because I'm like, bro, they probably having a bad night. My shit probably finna get the people's elbow, the people's eyelashes on my shit, all that. Like, I'm cool. Women got this way of delivering something where it's like, well, she got a point. So, yeah, even though I'm strong, I'm going to hold it down. I'm Incredible Hawking and all that. Like, you still going to have to, you know, I'm still need you to, baby. Yeah, you know, I ain't tripping, baby. Nah, don't even say nothing. And then you like, nah, fuck that. Because you, and I'm like, oh, shit, oh, I ain't got to start it. So, yeah.
But a lot of women have come up in a world where they don't trust men.
There you go.
Maybe they didn't have a father that they could trust. They didn't have a father figure in their life or where they could be like, you know what? I can't do this. He can do this for me, or he can help me with X, Y, and Z. But a lot of women really have to put on the cape and wear this cape nonstop. They never get a break from being the strong woman.
Yeah. So that's how they're viewed now. Like, now men view them as like, oh, she too. And it's like, yeah, because that's what you gotta be, bro. Like, you,
that's how she has to be in this world.
Like you started the conversation of talking about adapting. Like, you have to, your surroundings. You know what I mean? You grew up in an area where you can't afford to be soft. I can't afford to be, oh, just hot, like, because you'll take advantage. So I have to be on 10. I have to be on defense at all times. So, you know, once you get to a point in life where you don't have to do that because of the people around you, then of course you become a better version of yourself. But it takes, you know, help.
I'm going to play a video that my dad sent me. My dad, okay? Me and my dad are best friends. I think he is an incredible man.
Shout out to Pops, man.
He understands, yeah. He understands, like, the role that men play in women being their soft selves.
Absolutely. Yeah, hell yeah.
So let me find this video.
That's Pops with his daughter. Like, you already know, like, when it comes to daughter time, like, that's when you break the glass in case of emergency and get them, like, nah. Baby girl gonna be taken care of. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
When a feminine woman is in discomfort for too long, she's going to naturally become masculine. This is the body's survival mechanism. If you're a man, your environment needs to be comfortable because femininity cannot thrive in discomfort. Masculinity can. Femininity can thrive like that. A woman who's anxious too long or uncomfortable too long, her body is going to make her more masculine so she can survive and defend herself. So if you're in a situation where you're seeing your feminine woman turn masculine, she's not comfortable, bro.
Simple. Okay? It's really that simple.
Right there. Yeah.
It really takes looking within yourself, fellas, to be like, you know, am I doing something wrong? But a lot of people don't want to be the one that's like, oh shit, I've been fucking this up the whole time. I'll give you a perfect example, I should do better.
I'll give you a perfect example. I've been around different groups of dudes, you know what I'm saying? And one I always talk about, my brother, rest in peace, my brother Dre. I tell you all the time, he used to set the mood. You got girls coming over to the house tonight, I'm gonna set the mood. Hey, put on something that they can watch too. Don't just put on the fucking game or whatever. Put on something they can watch. Which I wanna watch. Mm-hmm. Which I wanna eat. Which I wanna, you know, whatever. And it wasn't about like, you know what I mean? Some old Mr. Nice Guy all shuck shit. It was like, nah, let's make these women comfortable because that's what.
Oh, look.
You know what I mean?
I have that's been over for. To like, you go, you hanging out with your girls like, oh, we're going to stop by my homeboy's house. And then you get there and you like, damn, I don't even know where to sit. And you just like sitting there tense. And it's like, how is that fun? How is that a good time?
That's exactly my next, you know what I mean? The next part of this is I've been around the dudes who they're not going to turn the video game off. When the girls come in, they not going, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, bro, put a shirt on my nigga. Like, dude, nah, bro. Yeah.
And they be like, oh,
my nigga. Like,
they be like, what's wrong with her? She stuck up. It's like, no, your environment does not allow her to relax.
Yeah, and I don't know, you probably seen like the Drewski video where he like, the dude is like fake trying to wrestle you and, hey, bro, that's my shirt. Yeah. Like, doing all that. Like, just really staring the hoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, and again, whenever we say the hoes, we not being disrespectful. We talking about the hoes.
That's right.
But it's one of those type of things where it's like I've been on both sides of that and I've seen it in the other situation. I'm sitting there like, damn, like, yo, at the end of the day, you going to ask her why she's so uptight. Like, bro, nigga, I'm shook right now. Like, I don't even want to.
Yeah.
To me, why you think she would? And I'll tell you this, the nights ended very, very differently in the first scenario than it did in the second one. Because in the first scenario, they were sitting around giggling all night, laughing, relaxing. Set their purse down, they chilling, they laid back. They damn, they want to take a nap. You know what I'm saying? Second scenario, not so much. So,
yeah.
Do with that information what you will. Shout out to your pops for that, because that was just a little gym. You know what I'm saying? You could tell he got a bag he was in, but that was a good. I like that right there.
Yeah. I appreciate that video, because I'm like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. And we had a conversation, me and my dad, about this at the top of the year. We were talking about our New Year's resolutions and what we're going to do differently this year. And I'm like, look, I have been busting my ass ever since I was able to get a job legally. I have been working. I'm raising my son now. I am busting my ass out here. I'm tired. I just want to be a soft woman. I want people to treat me like I just want to be treated like the delicate feminine woman that I am. Because I've been described as a very nurturing person, but I absolutely 100%, I am a very nurturing woman. When I'm in a relationship, I am a very nurturing partner to my son. I am very nurturing to even my friends. My friends tell me that too. Like, you have something really maternal about you.
Yeah.
But it really depends on my situations. When I am out here busting my ass and I don't have time to do shit but take care of my son and pay bills, I am not that soft and delicate woman.
Yeah,
I'm really not. So I was just telling my dad, like, look, I'm ready to retire. Yeah, like, I'm tired.
I like what he said about masculinity being able to exist amongst like the chaos and the confusion and the feminine, you know. But and I'll tell you why, because that situation happens all the time in relationships where it's like
Yes.
Things are might be going wrong, and the man is like, no, chill, like, we got it. Even though on the inside, he's probably going through it. It's tornadoes. With her, she's visibly uncomfortable, visibly like, damn, man, what the... Because they're not wired to have to deal with that part. You know, like, what I mean?
And it's like, oh, you got an attitude, yeah. Angry black woman.
Yeah, 100%. And all these, like, things. Nah, it's like, time, wait, take us... I'm getting water.
Take
wrong,
a second,
bro.
Assess. Yeah, like, yeah. Assess what's really happening and why she may be feeling this way.
Yeah, 100%.
So I don't like people talking shit about the whole soft life thing being rebranded as, you know, men saying, oh, just be more feminine. No, this is an internal thing, an internal awakening that women are having.
Right,
and then there are these men out here who do not. They just want to take credit. Oh, we've been saying this. It's like, no, it's like, you weren't saying it right.
You've been saying it, but you ain't you're not the right messenger. So it's like, you're not, you can't.
That part.
I mean, you know.
Like, where it's coming from.
Yeah, like, 1,000,000%. So it's like, bro, you can't, I don't know. You can't be the dude that's saying that. You can't do that, bro. You can't be shooting, like,
that's
20%
right.
from the free throw line, telling a nigga, like, nah, look, bend your arm. Like, nigga, you bend your arm. What you talking about? Fuck.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, niggas are bend your arm, nigga. But nah, we just.
Oh, wait a minute. Hide your aunties, please.
I'm telling you, man, listen, me and my son are all going to the barbershop together this week, so listen.
Hey. Hide the ladies. All right, so that's going to wrap up today's show. Of course, tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I can't wait to hear what you got to say Thursday about this
man.
Biggie story.
I'm telling you, this one is a doozy, you know what I mean?
All right.
Yeah, man.
Until next time, we out.
We out.
Peace.